We have graduation Sunday, which means that we're going to have all the graduates speak a few words to us. And so we have Yo-Yo, who will graduate from high school, and he is going to UVA. Yay! Okay. And then we have, second one, we have Jessica, who will be graduating from UVA, moving on to, well, she'll let you know. And then follow her will be Aiden, and then John, and then Shelly is the last one. All right, so you just come up, okay? You don't need me to come up and do the traffic cops. Just come up when the next one, when the one is finished. And also, there's a mic. We want to record your testimony and play it back to you 10 years from now. 10 years, okay. You suck. Yay. Just put it on your, and then give it to the next person. When you're done.
Is this good?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, cool. Pull out my speech. Okay. I had an intro, but I mean, it's already out. So my name's Newland. I'm a senior at Albemarle High School, and I'm graduating in May this year. Talking a little bit about my experiences with the church. I came over to America when I was 3 with my dad. And at that time, there wasn't a lot of like Chinese Americans near where I lived. And I think church was one of the biggest things that actually like helped me connect with other Chinese people. I met a lot of other kids my age there, like Sarah and Grace. And I think without the church, it definitely was a lot harder for me to find friends like that. I also think that a lot of the experiences I had here were really valuable, especially things like dumpling making, New Year's Eve party. I remember there was like a news channel that came over to our church one time, and then we did a little demonstration of like the whole dumpling making process, and then we were like in a little cameo, and we stood in front of the camera, like all these little kids surrounded by each other. And we like spoke to the camera, 新年快乐, and it was a lot of fun. I also think that church has also taught me a lot of valuable stuff about life and also helped me connect with my mom more, because I didn't really know what her story with Christianity was until I was a bit older. Especially because she came from a Catholic family, so she wasn't actually Baptist. She went through a long process of thinking, you know, oh, church wasn't really the right thing for me, like church back in China was just different, and how she never really connected with Christianity in that way until she came over to America, and then she experienced baptism and the community that she found here. And I think that also taught me a lot, because in the beginning I wasn't very interested in Christianity. I think there was a lot of like ups and downs, especially with my journey in it, but through the church and like through my connection with her and learning about what she had to go through and how she overcame it and how she got to where she is now, I think that also like sort of helped me like in my journey here. And it's still a very, you know, ups and downs journey with this church, because sometimes you really don't want to go, but like sometimes you kind of have to go. You know, I've been pushing myself to go every single time. Sometimes I get up really late because I don't want to go. My mom gets mad. She's like, "You have to go." I was like, "Okay, fine, I'll go." But I don't have perfect attendance, but I do think I'm here most of the time, I would say. For the English church specifically, I think I've been here when it was just starting out. I remember the room was oriented this way, and there was a screen was this way, and it was just me, Sarah, and Grace in the front row, and that was just it, just three of us. and Pastor Danny was literally just talking right in front of us. And I remember it slowly started to get bigger, then the room sort of expanded more this way. And then all of a sudden, oh, it was facing this way now. And every morning, instead of just sitting in front of the tables, the round tables, we had to actually move around the chairs. And then more people came. And then it just sort of became its own identity. And I think that was also really nice because I've never really fit in just like the First Baptist Church or like the completely Chinese church. I fall asleep a lot when I was listening to the sermons there. I'm like, I did understand, but like it wasn't very pleasing to hear. So I think that having an English church just for Chinese Americans really helped because I actually understood what was going on now. And I also got to meet a lot of other really cool people, especially like college students. And I think that also really helped because, you know, college advice and knowing where you want to go, especially with Shelly. I think Shelly helped a lot. We went to this retreat back up in Lynchburg, I think, a few years ago. And that was really fun. And I got to learn a lot. And it just feels really nice, you know, to have like a community that's you belong to, especially as like a Chinese American. I feel like you're not completely Chinese either because, you know, your Chinese isn't up there for the mainland Chinese, but you're not white either, right? So, you know, being surrounded by the people that are really similar to you, I think that really helped in finding my identity mm-hmm. and also being really happy with myself and confident in myself. And I think that being here for 15 years, the church has been a really solid rock. Even when I don't want to come, like it's always there for me. And I think I'm really grateful for that. And going to college is a little bit scary because it won't be the same consistency anymore, definitely. Because I've seen a lot of college students who were really, you know, into the church and came almost every Sunday, like they're slowly starting to not come. And I don't really want to be like that. You know, I still have a lot of friends here like Sarah and Grace. And I'm just like, I still want to be involved. I still want to like go to the dumpling making stuff in Easter every year and definitely will be back. So it's like a connection I don't want to lose, you know? So it feels very different to graduate, and I'm really excited to see what the future has for me. Finding maybe like another community at college is also a story that I want to start, and you know, finding new experiences with the people there is going to be really fun. So yeah, thank you.
Hi guys, good morning. I'm Jessica. I hope this is on.
Yeah.
Somebody can confirm or deny. Oh, wrong stand. But I'm Jessica. I'm a fourth year, 22 years old, and graduating with an economics degree. So I was a believer when I was younger, but my focus today will be more as like an overview of the past 4 years. And I think some lessons that God has given me to sort of form and strengthen my faith the past 4 years. So just a little prequel. Coming into college, I was in a really bad spot, I think, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I think just to like put it like pretty briefly, like I think there were multiple times that summer where I considered like taking my own life or like not coming to college. So I think for me, like, I was like, that's like the lowest we could have gone. And then we entered into college. And so I'd say like my first year, I think, I've titled this episode Pruning. I think it was the most difficult season of my life, probably the most difficult year of my life. And somehow worse than when I was coming into college. But I think God really used that season to, make space for him in my life. A worship song I really enjoyed then was called Make Room. And because I realized I had so many sins and so many like self-consumed thoughts of my own sins that I didn't have much capacity to hear God, much less allow him to work in my life. It was also in that season that I joined three different fellowships. I joined Chi Alpha, GCF, and like Asian InterVarsity. So I had really good Christian community, which I think was also very helpful in keeping me grounded in my faith and at least having that rhythm and other believers in my life who were pursuing their faith. And I think really encouraged by people I knew coming into college too, like Aiden, and seeing him grow in his faith, etc. So yeah, very difficult year, but I think God removed a lot of thorns and a lot of rocks that led to the growth for the next 3 years. I would say my second year, the episode is titled Forgiveness. I had a really bad falling out with a very close friend of mine. And I think I experienced a level of like anger and loss that I didn't know prior. And so I think God was teaching me what it looked like to actually forgive. Because I think in my mind is like, oh, like I forgive you once and like we're good. It'll be good forever. I found out that's really not the case. I had to forgive her every time I saw her and extend that grace every single time and not let that bitterness like root itself in my heart. Yeah. And I think as a whole, like impacting my faith, not only like horizontally with other people, but I started to understand just a fraction of like what it meant for God to forgive me. Because I was like, as much as this person wronged me once, like I wrong God every single day to different extents and different habits. And yeah, so I think I was just like, wow, like God is really, really patient and realizing my own impatience as well. I would say my third year, I learned the concept of grace. So a little backstory, in the end of my second year, I started going to this Bible study, I would call it. And by fall of my third year, I had been told that it is a cult. So I think that was very difficult because I think there was like two different options now. There's like both ways are saying that it's true, like their own side is true, that they're only like using scripture on both sides. So it's really a dilemma of like, oh my goodness, like who can I trust? I can't trust my pastors anymore. I can't trust my churches, my fellowships, even my friends that are like good-willed. So it really felt like it was just me and God in this season. And it was especially difficult because it was also connected to my family. So it's like even family is like out of the running. But I think it was very necessary because I think I grew up with a very self-righteous faith, a faith that was very distrusting. And yeah, I think just very belittling to others in order to like keep security. And that's sort of like what I saw modeled in my home. And so I think like as I was trying to grow in my faith, I would always be like stumbling or like confused about certain aspects in terms of like, what is salvation? How can you be saved? What does it mean to have faith? Who is a true believer? Like all of those things would always, I think, keep me down or cause a lot of questions. So I think God used that instance to really weed out and like redefine a lot of things just purely by, yeah, like spending a year of just like reading the Bible, no commentary, like front to back, is like, I think how God also grew like a love for his word in my life. Because I realized like, yeah, like I can't just depend on what people say about the Bible and what they say about Jesus. I need to read for myself because who knows like if they're right or wrong in some ways, or even like who knows like what should be emphasized, which I think is a trickier question. But yeah, I think I'm very thankful for that season looking back, despite how difficult it has been, just because I think I've seen so much fruit after reading, I guess, the whole Bible for the first time, but also, yeah, learning to trust and rely on community after like the situation. I would say finally, like my fourth year, I think so much had happened. I was like, oh, like the race is done. Not like the race is done, but like I've done all the hard work. How much more can there be? I was like, I feel like I've aged so much. But then I think God in this past year showed me like, oh, like the job isn't done. The race is not over. There is so much more to come. I'm still so sinful. There's so much more sanctification that's needed. And so, yeah, I think him just reminded me that there are more seasons to come and that there's a lot of patience in his timing for me. Even though I think I'm one to like rush ahead. Also something that happened my fourth year is like a call to ministry. I think I grew up my whole life, like when I was a kid, my dream was to be a pastor's wife. And I don't think many people say that. Like, I don't think that's really normal. I think like always being inclined and like wanting to help people. And I think especially like caring for their spiritual need and emotional needs. And, but I think I kind of put that off because like parents' wishes and financial stability and I think just being like an econ major is like, oh, like that seems like it's good enough. But I think God in my fall semester was like, I think you know what you're actually meant for. Like your skills, like you can be an okay analyst or you can like be like a really good person in ministry. And so I think like counting the costs and yeah, I think for me, like wanting to pursue, yeah, like full-time ministry and what that could look like for my life. So I guess that leads me to like what I'm doing post-grad. I'll be joining a like post-grad leadership development program that'll be in McLean, so like Nova. And it's for 9 months. I'll be with a cohort of like 15 different people from across the country. I'll be working at a counseling firm, and I'll be taking courses at Reformed Theological Seminary in DC, and also be serving at a local church called McLean Presbyterian Church. So I think it'll just be a time, hopefully, of like discerning what ministry could look like and seeing if it's actually a good fit for me and yeah, what direction I want to move in for the long term. So please pray for me. Let me know if you want my support letter, which I'm sending out soon. But I think to wrap up, I'm very thankful for this church. I don't even know how I began coming here. I think it was Daniel's son. I remember church hopping, and eventually I just ended up here every week. And then I ended up singing sometimes, and then going to Sunday school, which thank you, Tim. I don't know where he went. But I think also especially to Pastor Chu and Shumul, because I think during that time I was in the cult, there were a couple of times I would, like, after service, like, ask a couple questions, more, like, to test or to, like, yeah, like, discern, like, who was right or wrong, if there's, like, reasoning for certain phrases. I don't know. I was, like, super, like, nitty-gritty on every word. And I think you always answered in a very gracious way that made me question, like, if they were right. So I just thank you for, like, your sound teaching and also, like, for this place to, like, feel like a family. So that's all. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Hey. Yeah, I went to college the past 4 years. and yeah, so we were asked to share a little bit. I kind of wanted to talk similarly just about how I've seen God work in my life the past 4 years and just throughout my life in general. Yeah, so I'll briefly talk a little bit about before college. I grew up going to GCBCR, which Pastor Daniel had been preaching at basically while I was growing up. And I always grew up going to church. My parents were like deacons and worship leaders and Sunday school and whatever. So I was always at church. And I grew up serving and doing all these kinds of things, but I wouldn't really say that I had like a relationship with God. I don't think I spent any time really like reading the Bible or praying outside of church. But I think God was really moving in my life without me realizing through a couple of different ways. My parents, I think, definitely were not perfect when I was growing up, but I was able to see like how they individually started like seeking after God, and that really impacted me. I remember there was a spring retreat where God really touched my heart, and like for no reason, I just like started crying in the middle of like the testimonies, and I was like, "What's going on?" And then I was like praying, I was like, "God, what are you doing to me?" And then I think I was able to be surrounded by good brothers and sisters and also mentors within that praise team that I had been serving at church. And so piece by piece, God was like laying down those that foundation set on him for me before college. And so going into it, I didn't really have many expectations. I was like, oh, I'll keep doing like this church thing because that's like just what you do in life or something. But I think God really like turned my life upside down first year. Yeah, I think I had like an explosion of growth in my faith. And maybe that's just because like I had no faith before or like very little. And like just that little bit of like tasting and seeing that the Lord is good like changed my life. But yeah, I grew a lot in my Christian fellowships, I think, especially through Chi Alpha and GCF. I started doing discipleship with Will my first year, Will Dang, who's spoken here a couple of times. I think I, and also through like discipleship group there and like other small groups and other things, I was able to learn what it looks like to delight in the word. I think Psalm 1 is something that always comes back to mind for me. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And so, yeah, I think while I'm definitely not perfect, maybe I'm more like a sprout than a tree. I think, yeah, God has really shown like his goodness to me and what it means to like have joy and to, yeah, delight in all that he is. And I think I also had a lot of good older brother and sister role models within like college who have really shown me what it looks like to live a life like chasing after God. Because I think I didn't know, or I was like shocked whenever I would like talk to people and they would be just like thinking about like God and stuff. And I was like, oh, I didn't know like you could do that in your free time and stuff. So, but I think they like really set a good example of what it means to like live for Christ like outside of church and stuff as well. I remember this really cool moment my first year where I was like sitting in the dining hall just by myself. Oh, this doesn't have anything to do with the older brothers and sisters, but I remember this moment where I was like sitting in the dining hall and I was just like thinking to myself, do I really know that I'm saved? And if you had asked me that before, I would have been, or like leading up to that point, I would have been like, oh, I don't know, like I'm like Christian and stuff, so hopefully like I'm good enough to go to heaven and things like that. But it was so weird because it was just this random day. I was like eating lunch and then I was like thinking that question to myself and I was like, yeah, I know that like my identity is in Christ and that like I have been saved and that I will spend eternity with him. And then I was like, well, okay, that's cool. And so I think, well, the reason I say that is because I think I really did have like this, not that my life was necessarily like unaligned with church because I had always done that growing up, but I had this total shift in like the way that I saw God and the way that I like lived my life. But at the same time, I think I was still struggling with a lot of different things my first year. And I also started dating, and that was something that really became the center of my life. Despite thinking that like God was the center, that was really what was like had my attention. And I think also despite telling God that I was willing to like give it up if it was his will, I was still very attached and made many mistakes and tried to live a Christ-centered relationship, but at the end of the day, I think I failed. But that was like my first year. I grew a lot. It was good and fun. And then my second and third years, honestly, those years were kind of a blur, I think. I was trying to think back on like what happened and I can barely say. But I think one thing that did kind of stick with me through those years was just a lot of the mistakes that I made in friendships. Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I learned in college was how to make good, deep, Christ-centered relationships with my friends. And it wasn't an easy process at all. Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I learned when it comes to like loving others like Christ did is to get rid of selfishness for myself, like get rid of, be willing to sacrifice, be willing to give up like my comfort and the time that I want to do my own things to like invest and love well in others. I realized that you can't force friendships to be deep immediately. And I think something that people say often is like doing life together with like your small groups or like your brothers and sisters. And I think that was really looking back, I realized how important it was to have those small moments of just like eating together or just like hanging out and doing small things that build that relationship to be one where you can really rely and like love one another well. So I think that was like a big lesson that I've been learning throughout my whole time in college, and I've just now been able to start seeing the fruits in that. And so I think it's been really good and really joyful. But what another way that I saw God moving through my second and third years was through leading small groups. I was really amazed at how my small group members would grow like in their own relationships with Christ without me even doing anything. I think I remember a lot of times doing like one-on-ones and meeting up with people, and they would like ask me questions about like life and stuff, and they're like, should I go partying? What should I do in this scenario? And I was like, maybe this is what the Bible says. Like, don't break the law and don't like get drunk and stuff. And I gave like no good advice, but I think God was still faithful. And I was able to see, like, even though I wasn't able to like offer them anything, just being there and being that like advocate for Christ, I think was very meaningful for them as well. And so, praise God. God had been very faithful to me those 2 years, and he had given me lots of people around me who were willing to tell me hard truths about like not living in sin and seeking after God. And so, I think throughout second and third year, I was trying to be more like Christ, but I think a big thing that I needed to do was remove like my idols that were remove all the idols in my heart and replace them with God. And so that brings us to this year, fourth year, which I think has been a very difficult but meaningful and very joyful year of college. I think it's been my favorite year. I've been through a lot of challenges, but also been able to enjoy my last moments in Charlottesville, I guess. One tough prayer that I had been praying throughout college was for God to reveal my sin. And because I think it was, I had like some pride in believing that I'm like good enough, you know. But I was really praying to God that he would reveal to me like just how broken I am and that I really do need him. Because that is something that I always had trouble with. And some of you might know that praying those kinds of prayers is very scary, and oftentimes God answers them, and then you're just kind of like, oh, I wish I didn't pray that in the first place. But I think, the way that God answered that was through a breakup earlier this year in November, October. But I think I was really confronted with my sin and brokenness throughout the years. And God had been stripping away the things that I had held so tightly onto, like falsely believing that I was willing to like do whatever God wanted me to do. But then in reality, when that like came to the forefront of my life, like I found it very difficult. But it happened. And I think I've been reading this book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And one of the things that it said is that nothing brings growth like pain. Which it feels kind of like cringy to say, but I think it's very true. Like God puts us in trials, and a verse that I'm reminded of is James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And I think, we're all still on this journey of becoming more like Christ. And I think God has put me through difficult things this year so that I may grow more in him. And I think spending time in his word this year, having good, meaningful community and friends has helped me to grow a lot. And I'm definitely not perfect. I still find it difficult to make every aspect of my life obedient to Christ. That's probably my reflection on fourth year. But I've had so many good memories at this church. I think the reason why I started coming here is because my parents, or our home church, comes to do the mission once a month. And so once a month, my dad would be like, can you play at church? And I'd be like, okay. And then at some point, I was like, I'm here once a month anyway. I might as well just come every single week. But it's been really good. I have lots of good memories here. I think the Easter services are always very fun. And it's something that I always remember. But I was a little bit disappointed this year when we didn't have our picnic. But yeah, even just like hanging out and like having lunches together and things like that, I think, this church has felt like home. I think, especially since we're a very small gathering of believers, but still faithful, I think it's been really good just to be with you all and faithfully just come and see what the Lord has for us each week. But yeah, I don't think I'm generally the kind of person to be very sentimental, or I don't think changes in life stage impact me too much. But I would say I'm pretty excited and ready for the next step in life and where God will take me. I feel like I'm pretty open to doing whatever God wants me to. But I feel like also when I said that in the past, like it wasn't necessarily true. So pray for me that I would be open to God's will. But yeah, I'm going to Northern Virginia to do work and stuff. I just wanted to leave you guys with a verse that has stuck with me throughout my life. I think something that I came into college wanting to do, and something that I still now want to live like. And it's Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So yeah, hope that I can learn to live like that. And I'll pray that for all of you as well. But yeah.
Is this okay? I don't, like this?
That's fine.
Okay, cool. Good morning, everyone. My name is John. I'm a fourth year at UVA. It's a little bit of a surprise. I think if you were to ask me like 3 years ago, like what church would I be attending, this would not have been my first guess. For starters, I am Korean, so it's a bit of a culture gap at times. But I think it's been a real blessing to be able to join y'all in this gathering, and to really be poured into a lot of these past few months and semesters. So just an introduction about myself. I was raised in the church, and both my mom and my dad are believers. And so throughout, you know, my upbringing, we would go to church, and I would learn all, like, I think the technical, like, biblical knowledge of, like, who God is and what God's character is like. But I think a very prevalent theme for myself was that faith is always, like, a very individual thing, where it was, like, between me and God, in the sense where community was very hard for me to, it was not very intuitive for me to like understand and accept. I remember going to church, like I would go through the Sunday service, we would have like a little bit of that like small group time, like while I was waiting for my parents to pick me up, and it would be nice. And like, I would like talk with all my like church friends, and it felt more like a social gathering rather than kind of like a Christ-centered one. And nothing wrong with just having some like time with brothers and sisters as well, right? But in the sense where I felt like this is where I was growing, and that I felt that a community was necessary for my faith to grow, it took a long while for me to really accept that, I think. And so, you know, going up throughout elementary school, middle school, high school, the whole chronological order, right? I think I had this kind of very, at times, like arrogant or just very... just very stubborn mind upon what community was or what the role of community was in my faith. And so I think that started to change as I went to college, where, you know, for my like year, I guess it was COVID was junior year, and then senior year was also still COVID. First year of college was right when it was about to come out. And so during the end of COVID, I remember I joined this like Bible Zoom, like
Friday night Bible study kind of thing with some of my like home church back in Nova's like acquaintances, kind of friends. Like I knew some of them pretty well, but some of them I never met for the first time. And with that, I started to get a little bit more plugged in with like the people in my church. So it wasn't just these were the people that I like saw every Sunday and maybe like had small talk with, but these are people that like I got to know on a deeper level. And then I found out that some of them were also coming to UVA. So kind of as like a group, we came to UVA, we're looking for different fellowships. And even though I was still a little bit hesitant towards like, oh, should I join a Christian fellowship? Should I like, how involved should I be in a community in college? I just kind of like went along with it because like all my friends did. And I think like at the time I kind of took it for granted because everyone was so welcoming. Everyone was like, all the upperclassmen were just like, welcoming with like opening arms. And it made me like kind of like take a step back because it was such a foreign concept to me of like, oh, like, okay, I guess like, I didn't know church could be like this welcoming kind of thing, which is like, that's not to say that my home church was not welcoming, but to say that it was just like, I'd never been poured into like that. In terms of like spiritual mentorship and discipleship, like I feel like my parents played a very strong role. And so whenever I had like biblical questions, I'd always ask them, and I never really had any like strong relationships with like church leaders or pastors or anything like that. So like talking to Pastor Ajay in GCF and just like getting to know a lot of these like local churches in Charlottesville was very like new to me. You know what I mean? I want to talk about like two big themes that I feel like God's really shown and guided me throughout college. The first one that I kind of touched upon was community. And the second one that I'll kind of go upon later is like the idea of trust in God. But as I kind of go throughout college, right, I feel that I've been humbled a lot of times where there's been instances where I'm so tired. And I'm sure any college kid can probably, or anyone who's been in college can just like kind of relate. Even if you haven't, like you can probably relate. It's just like, man, you feel like you're alone or just like you can't handle this by yourself, you know? And for me to have like the arrogance to think that, you know, I can carry all my burdens alone rather than like lifting it up to God. And in doing so, also like lean upon my brothers and sisters around me in a fellowship. I think when I started to really let go of like my own stubbornness and my own like pride in being able to think I could do all of this, like, and really try to lean on others, like I felt like I really learned what it meant to be a part of a community. A big like impact, like a very, very like specific instance of this would be in small groups of GCF. And Aiden kind of touched upon it before, but small group for me was like such a impactful experience, so much so that in second year I decided that I want a small group lead too. And it's kind of weird because throughout second and third year I small group led for 2 years. It was always like, oh, you are being told that you're in a role of leadership, which I think is very true, because you know, you want to be guiding like underclassmen or like even like peers towards Christ. But at the same time, I felt as much as I was being like poured into, I was like being pouring out, I was being poured into so much by the people that I was like leading. And if we're being like very like blunt, I guess, like I'm only like a year older than the people I was like small group leading. And in terms of upperclassmen small group leading, like my third year, like some of my small group kids were older than me, you know? So in terms of like pure age and like even like spiritual maturity where there's like just varying levels, like it was like, it felt so much so that in this role of serving, I felt so like poured into, and I felt that I learned so much, you know, learning about vulnerability, learning about like how Christ has worked, like by praying for people, how Christ works in the life of others, you know, just like truly seeing before my own eyes, like how powerful and how active God is, not just in my life, but in the lives of the people around me. Serving on the executive office, like board of GCF with Jessica and a few other people has taught me very similar things like in my third year, but this time like with a little bit more nuance, because not only am I like pouring out into people, but sometimes I get like a lot of criticism as well, which is like I think very natural because it's like a role of like public facing or something like that, or a responsibility role. But in that season as well, just kind of like grappling with, okay, you know, it's like, at first, if my like thought process was like community wasn't necessary, and then it went to like, oh, community is amazing. But then the third stage is like, community is amazing, but it's not perfect, and that kind of thing. And because we live like in a fallen world, and we're striving to be like Christ. We are not perfect, and I realize throughout, like more and more throughout serving. But I think in this imperfection, striving to be more like Christ and striving to, you know, like grow together, I think was such a profound realization for me of why I really came to appreciate the role of community. And so kind of pivoting off, going a little bit into the idea of trust, I think community has really supported my idea, like supported my trust in God a lot of times. Because going into college, like I remember one of my biggest questions was like, how do I trust God with like the day-to-day things, such as like very practical example, like tests. Like I was very like fixated on like grades, results, like test scores and all that stuff, that I was thinking like, you know, like what does trusting God mean in that context? Like if I like don't study for a test at all and I trust God, would he come down and like take the test for me kind of thing? And it was weird for me to like conceptualize, like how do I trust God with like my academics as a student? You know what I mean? And I think throughout first year and second year, I think I was humbled a lot, and it made me realize that I'd been so fixated on the results that I forgot that in the end, like all is truly in God's hands. So that as a like being called to be a good steward of my studies, I strive to do the best I can. But in terms of what the results are, I had so much anxiety before. But throughout college, I started to really, I'm not perfect, obviously, now. It's like I'm slowly starting to understand like what it means to like give up that control and just really lift it up to God. One of my favorite verses is like Proverbs 3:5-6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, for he will make your path straight. I realized that throughout college that trusting God, whether it be in the context of joining a community like GCF or joining a church like GFCC, you know, is truly like in ways that are totally not under my own works, my own will, or like my own plans or whatever, you know, like the Lord has made my path straight. And for that, I'm so thankful. And I have like so much left to learn, so much that, you know, day by day, I'm humbled and just like really, I come to terms with just like how like flawed, how sinful I am and how much I have to grow still. But seeing how God's worked in my past and seeing how God's worked now and seeing how God, like, will, like knowing all of those, I know that God will work in my future. And so, yeah, I think just in terms of like encouragement or like reflections for college specifically as well, I think because college from like a very secular point of view is a very hyper-competitive, like it's just a very like, it can be in some instances just very like comparative, I suppose. I think something that I learned a lot through both community in GCF and finding identity in Christ and not my grades, but also just trusting in God, was just knowing that like I am not my profession. I am not like my GPA or I'm not my studies. Like I am a child of God. And I think truly understanding that, and like not just like saying it to say it, but truly understanding that that is where my confidence, that is where my identity, and that is where my root of who I am is sourced from, I think makes me much less anxious than I was before in the past, and very excited, I think, to continue seeking Christ in the next steps of my life. So just for my post-grad plans, I will be staying here actually for med school. So y'all might see me for a few more years. Yeah, I probably should have said that as a disclaimer at the beginning. So I'll still be here next year. But I think just having the opportunity to like speak in front of y'all and just really share how like God's worked in my life during my undergraduate years. But also thank you all for, you know, welcoming me to your church and just helping me feel so loved and just accepted. I think has been like such a big blessing and such like a, it's just something I'm so grateful for. So yeah, I'll see y'all later, but thank you so much.
Okay. Just a disclaimer that I thought I was going next week, and then Pastor Chu told me I was going today, so I was like, oh, so this is very not prepared. But I'll just, yeah, let's see what I have to say. Okay, so I'm Shelly. I've been here for 6 years during my PhD. I came in 2019, so actually like pre-pandemic. And I feel like I'm like a little bit more advanced than some of you guys. So, you know, I've been through a couple of these stages, so I won't talk as much about like growing up and stuff. But I grew up in the Chinese church. It was kind of similar to this, slightly bigger. And I kind of like went through a lot of similar things that like Yo-Yo shared about and like Aiden and Jessica shared about, like kind of like knowing the Bible, being familiar, being in the Chinese community, but not really like experiencing it. And then by the grace of God, like became closer to God in college and like went through a lot of like formation and having my own faith in college. And then came here. And then, so when I actually came here in 2019, I started going to an American church. No particular reason. Oh, I guess because we didn't have English session. So, and then at that point, like there was it was like a couple of like high school boys. So I was like, okay, well, probably shouldn't have, like go to church with high school boys. And just me. And Tim wasn't here yet, by the way. So I was like, okay. So I started going to American church, and then Tim came here in 2020. We were dating at the time, and then we started going to this church. And I think at that time, I was thinking like, okay, it seems like this is a ministry that we can serve with the Asian American youth growing up. I think like Chinese church often has the problem of like there's not as many like older ABCs because kids who go to college, either they like leave the church or they start going to American church and they'll come back to the Chinese church. And then there's just this cycle of like not really having older mentors for the youth. So I kind of thought like Tim and I could kind of fill that gap. And I think that the parents were just like, oh, you went to Cornell? That's great. Like, come. And that was like the thing that like, they're like, you succeeded, I guess. But regardless, I thought that like, that was like a ministry that we can serve. And I think that like what I really learned in my first year here is that like there is things that like I didn't think I had as gifts that like God was using that I could serve with, like, you know, like where I went to school, or like I was like doing music, like in college, like everyone was better than me at music, everyone like had better Chinese than me, like I was pretty like mid, you know, of like where I went to school. So I never really thought like I had like really great gifts, or like we had a lot of seekers in our fellowship. And so just even knowing like certain things about the Bible was like a thing that I think God was using. So I think what I was learning there is that like God was using these things that I didn't really consider gifts to serve. And then that's like something that's like a continued theme that I'll turn back to later on. And then Pastor Chu decided that he wanted to start like an English ministry, and I was like very doubtful at the time. I remember thinking like, I don't think this is gonna work out well. Like, there's already so many churches. I don't see like why college kids would come, because it just felt like I didn't know what we had to offer. And I remember like actually asking Pastor Carter from GCPCR. I like straight up said to him like, I don't know why college kids would come and like what we could offer, because so many churches feel like they have so many more resources. And I remember him just saying like, just like you have to be like authentic, and maybe people would appreciate the community that you have. And so I was like, okay. And then I think that like seeing people come to this English ministry and like having it built up was really like seeing God's work and like showing, just revealing to me that like just, all we have to do is just be faithful and then like trust God. And I think that like in my life, it's really hard for me to like make space for God to work. I think that that's like for me, I feel like I'm very motivated person. I'm a very detail oriented person. Like, I think that I'm highly capable in certain ways, and I'm very like planning and like very type A, extremely type A. So I think that like it's really hard for me to think about, like, just makes room for God to just work and, like, be faithful instead of just being like, let me just do as much as I can, and then that, like, 10% I'll, like, rely on God, you know. Mm-hmm. But, like, instead just being like, okay, we don't really know what we're doing. We're just going to give this to God. Because I think that, like, if you don't, like, make room for God, I think that you won't be able to see where he works, and then he'll just keep thinking, like, okay, I just made all this possible, like, and I can just keep making everything I need possible. But, like, I think to put things in God's hands and then, like, being able to see that return is, like, you can see, like, where God can multiply things in ways that, like, you could never have done, and it's bigger and it's better. So I think that, like, that's one of the lessons that I really took away. It's just, like, creating that space and, like, giving yourself that ability to for God to work. And then the next thing is, like, and then in my later years, I think I realized that, or I'll just go to the next thing first. So then, like, the next thing, like, I guess, like, I went through a couple life stages during my time here. Like, I got married, and then I had a baby and stuff. And then I think, like, you know, I definitely knew I wanted to have kids, and I thought I wanted to, like, have kids young. And of course, like, being the way that I am, I was like, okay, the best time to have a kid is February 2024. And then, like I was literally like, that's the best time, because that's the best time that works well with, like, everything in my, like, academic calendar. So I was like, okay, that's what we're aiming for. And then we'll give ourselves a little bit of, like gap in case that didn't happen, you know? And then, like, of course that didn't happen. She was born in August. Which was probably, like, the second worst time to have the kid. Like, September or October would have been, like, the worst time. But August was, like, cutting it kind of close, because it was really, like, probably, like, the busiest time for me academically. And then the thought process with that is that, like, I definitely thought that, like, I would idolize my family. I think growing up, I have a brother that's, like, 7 years younger than me. I was, like, momming him way more intensely than my own parents. They're pretty, like, I was the one that was, like, had, like, expectations for him, and, like, definitely, like, it formed him in, like, probably worse ways. Like, his testimony is probably going to be, like, his trauma for me. Anyways, so, like, I thought that, like, I really had to be, like, I was, like, before I had baby, I was thinking, like, okay, I have to be, like, good enough to, like, have a kid. I felt like if I want to have a kid, I need to, like, be at a certain level for myself. Like, I need to be, like, prepared enough, or I need to be, like, spiritual enough, or, like, certain things that I struggle with. I was like, okay, I need to, like, not struggle with that anymore. Like, I need to, like, get over this sin or bad habit or whatnot, and then I can, like, have a kid, because, like, I don't want to be a bad example to her, or I don't want, like, her to, like, struggle, or, like, you know, like, suffer these things that I still wrestle with. And then I realized, like, two things. Like, one is that I feel like that's more of a mindset, and, like, sometimes, like, you're never going to get there, or, like, if you get there, it's probably false. So I was kind of like, okay, well, why not? And then the second thing I realized is that, like, I think that, like, my thinking was so about wanting to be perfect in certain ways. Like, I wanted to be good in that, like, I wanted to feel like I was a good enough Christian in the ways that are, like, the wrong good enough Christian, right? Like, it's not like, oh, I think I'm, like, righteous enough, or I think I'm, like, you know, these other things, like, I think I know the Bible the best, you know. I think that, like, really, like, when you really, like, grow in your relationship with God, you realize more and more where your sins are, right? So I think that I realized that, like, what I want to be an example of to my kids is not that, like, oh, I'm, like, I don't know, I don't struggle with, like, XYZ bad habits. It's more like, what I want to show my kids is that, like, I'm just still work in progress. I'm still, like, broken person. I still struggle a lot, but I'm, like, just practicing more, like, yeah, like, repentance, and then just, like, seeing, like, pursuing God, you know, not feeling like I've pursued God enough. Like, okay, I've reached, like, you know, like, with Nirvana, what is it? Like, yeah, that, and then, like, I don't have anything else to grow. I think that, like, I just want to show my kids that I'm still, like, always a work in progress, and not being, and then, like, always, like, asking them for forgiveness, and things like that. So, yeah, so then I feel like that was a big thing that I realized, that, like, I frequently feel like I need to be good enough in certain ways, and I, like, work towards, like, being good enough. But I think that, like, having that mindset, like, number one, is like bad for yourself because that's the wrong path to pursue. I think number two is that like when you are someone who is kind of like me, who is like capable in certain ways, I think it really makes you feel very judgmental and close to people that are not in that way. So like, I think, yeah, like, I don't know, just like Tim and I are very different. And I feel like frequently I'm like, how can you not tell like this? It's so obvious. And then he's just like, what? And I'm like, what? Like, like, I don't know. He's just like, I can't, he's like, I can't put away your clothes. I don't know where they go. I'm like, how do you not know where they go? You just see where the socks are and that's where they go. Like, I just like, I feel like we have different strengths. But I feel like, you know, kind of like always just like reveling in my own strengths makes me really like close-minded to where other people's strengths are. And it really makes me like kind of judgmental of like, how can you not do this? Like, I can do this, so you should be able to as well. So I think that like God's really teaching me that like so many of these traits that are good, like, is so like multifaceted, or like there's so many dimensions of like what is good. Like, we frequently think that like good is just one, and like there's so many ways of being bad. I think there's like so many ways of having strengths. And I think that like recognizing other people's strengths is something that God is really teaching me to do. And I think that like reading the Bible, like seeing who Jesus is and what he embodies, one thing that's been really like helpful and useful for me is like not only what Jesus did, but like what Jesus like didn't do. You know, like, I think that that's been like kind of eye-opening, the showing that like there's a lot of times when Jesus was like wronged against, and he did not like just like speak up in anger, or like he did not like call people out at certain times. He had patience with them. And thinking like what I would have done, like, oh, like I'm a very impatient person, so I think I would have like immediately like said something, or like done it this way. But thinking like Jesus didn't do that, he actually did this, I think has been really like eye-opening for me. And so a couple of themes, I think, in my time here that I've been thinking about. The first theme is that life transitions don't change you as much as you think they will, but they often like reveal what's at your core. So I think that like we often get into this idea of like, oh, like in this stage of my life, like I can't do this because like some reason, but like this stage, I'm gonna like be better at like this. Like, oh, like once I'm post college, like then I'll have the time to like read, or like then I'll have the time to volunteer, or like church seek or something. And that's often like not the case. Or like, oh, once I get married, I'm not going to struggle with like loneliness anymore, or like whatever, you know. And I think that that's maybe true to some extent, but I don't think that's true as people think it is. I think that like certain situations were more likely to like just reveal like who you are. Like, I think, for example, like for me, like being a parent like made me realize like, oh, I am very anxious about these things, you know, and I have really trouble. I have a lot of trouble giving these things up to God. And like, so that's like, I think that's always been a theme, but like it shows in certain ways. I think like your personality, or like the things that you really struggle with at your core, maybe like come out more, but you will realize them because you will see that they carry through from one stage of life to the next. And I think that at every life stage, I think you just become more independent, and like people don't control you as much. So I think, you know, pre-college, like maybe your parents force you to go to church. In college, like you're not forced to go to church, but like if you're kind of been in the Christian community, then like you have a lot of friends that are also Christians, and they kind of like peer pressure you into church and stuff. I mean, maybe good for, you know, for, I think that's good overall, but like, but then you go like post-college, and then like it's just like becomes, you know, like even harder, like personal things like devotions, like memorizing scripture. I think like you just see fewer and fewer people that can like do that alongside you. So I think that like these habits you just want to like build up when you're younger and stuff. And I hear, like, I remember in college, I heard someone say like, you think you're busy now, you're just going to get busier later. And I was like, what the heck? But it is kind of like, it is true.
True. Especially you being a pastor.
So I think like, yeah, like I think like habits just you want to just build up now. And I, like I said, like the situation doesn't change as much as you think. Like you just want to build up things as early as you can, I think. And the second is the theme is about stewarding my resources. So like, as I mentioned before, I think God was trying to showing me like these things that I didn't realize were gifts he can use. I think more and more I like realize that like the biggest gift I think I can give God is the resources that he has given me, which is like my time and my money, I guess. I think we often talk about like money because it's so like tangible, and you know, we hear in the Bible that like love of money is the root of all evil. But I really think that the resource that I care about, and I study this in my research, is time and how people think about their time. Like I think money, I don't know, maybe money just feels like you can be greedy with money because you can always just want more and more of it. But time, like we know that like we're given a certain amount and we can't necessarily accumulate it. But I think that like being gracious with my time is really like what God just wants of me. I realized that in grad school, like it's made me really selfish with my time. I have a lot of anxiety about like my career and like being in academia. And I feel like one thing that I often regret is like not spending as much time, like giving my time to others as much as I would want to. I think that like, yeah, I think I've been a lot like really focused on myself and my personal goals. And not like being generous with my time. And I think that at the end of it, that's all that God really wants. He just wants me to give my time to him, to serving him. And so I think that like, that's something I'm trying to learn how to do better. And I hope that like other people, for you guys too, just like thinking about like, how can I serve God with my, just giving my time to others. Like, you know, if someone wants to like chat with you about an issue, not just like watching the clock, you know, or like, oh, how long could this take? Or like someone like meeting, like sometimes I, for meetups, I'm like, oh, it's gonna take like 20 minutes to get there. And like, I just like, I don't know, I feel so like focused on my time. And I think that like, I don't want to be that way. That's something I'm trying to work on, is just be generous with my time to give to others, and also like to give to the Lord. Another theme that I wanted to touch on is community. John already talked a lot about this, which is really great. And I've been thinking a lot recently about like, what is the ideal, what is the type of community that God wants us to be in, that he wishes for us? And I think that like, when I think about like, I don't think we're ever going to have a perfect community on earth, because we're all like sinful people and we have issues. But I think that like one of the traits that God wants us to have in community is to like people who are committed to each other, and people who are like close and, you know each other well and stuff. I think that like we're in a culture right now where it's really easy to leave relationships. I actually study this in my research. It's called relational mobility, which is the ease at which people can enter and exit relationships. And I think when you're in a highly relational mobile place, like it's just easy to not, you don't have to practice like forgiveness or reconciliation. And then your bar for like what you like in people just gets higher and higher, right? Because you're like, well, if I don't like this person, I'll just leave. Or, if I don't like this church, like I can just leave. And I think that's not what Christ, what God wants in a church, you know? Like I think about like the body of Christ. I think like a body part can't be like, I don't like this body, I'm going to leave and find a new body, you know? And I think that like, yeah, I'm just going to get amputated, right? So I think that like God wants us to be in community where like we are like we feel like we are connected to each other, and that we like you stick with these people. And then if they like fault you once or twice, you don't just like, well, I'm just going to cut you off, you know? And I think that that's really important, because it just gives you, well, like if you don't do that, it just leads to a very like unforgiving culture where you just don't have to practice forgiveness or these difficult things, because you just cut yourself away from like everyone, you know, who like maybe wrongs you. But I think that like learning to like reconcile and like keep on loving these people even when it's hard is something that is like a very, like that's what God wants for us to do, I think. And then, like, yeah, like, I think, like, you know, you'll experience, like, people will, like, annoy you, and they will say things and, like, do things that hurt you. And I think that, like, learning how to, like, forgive not only, like, is good for your soul, I think, but I think it also, like, when you're on the receiving end of forgiveness, I think, from someone else, and then someone else is to you is, like, I'm not just going to, like, leave you just because you did, like, one wrong thing. I think that's really, like, moving. And that's what we see with the Lord, right? He never, like, obviously God is, like, the highest standard of that. But sometimes I can maybe feel a little distance. But I think that, like, yeah, kind of being in that position. I think, like, for myself, it's something I, like, really struggle with. And I just kind of have that, like, I know this is, like, really sinful, but I often struggle with the idea, like, of when someone does something wrong, I'm just like, okay, well, how can I, like, get out of this, you know, like, leap, like, dating relationship, you know, I was like, okay, well, is this going to work out? Like, should I just, like, not be with this person anymore, you know, or, like, in a church or, like, friendship, I'm often, like, how can I just, like, close my heart to make, and, like, be cold so that I don't get hurt, right? But I think that, like, that's not what God wants us to, that's not the community that God wants us to be in. So I think that involves maybe, like, being in a smaller community or something where, like, you know, people deeply care about each other and then feel like they can be authentic without other people, like, judging them or, like, closing themselves off. So that's, like, the community that I hope that, like, you know, the graduates can find and, like, maybe, like, try to think about. Or the general question is, like, what is the type of community that you think God desires, and then, like, what communities do you think reflect that? And then, yeah, the other thing I wanted to just mention is, like I said, like, what are the resources that I can give to God, or, like, what does he want from me? I remember Pastor Chu had a sermon that made me think about this question of, like, what do I think that God would appreciate from me? You know, not in a way that, like, I need to defend myself to God, but, like, what do I think are the things that, like, God would appreciate from me? I don't think it's necessarily, like, how much, like, of the Bible that I know, or, like, oh, I, like, my behavior is, like, I go to church every week or something. But I think that, like, God just would appreciate, like, have I used my time well? Have I used my money well to serve him? And then, like, have I, like encouraged other people, or, like, pointed other people to God? And I think that involves, like, stewarding my resources and being in, like, close community with other people. And lastly, I just want to say, you know, for those who may not know God yet, who might not have this personal relationship, like, don't have to necessarily feel like it's just, like, a rush to get there, like, or the goal is not to get there as quickly as possible, right? I think that's something I learned a lot, like, being doing Bible study with seekers, and I feel like, you know, I'm always kind of this idea that's like, okay, like, we need to, like, help them, like, get to God, like, as quickly as possible or something. And I think that that's not the right mindset. I think, like, seeing, like, you know, Pastor and Shmuel just, like, have, like, a lot of patience with people and, like, working with people's own time has been really encouraging to me. And so, like, if you don't know God yet, I just pray that, I just encourage you to just, like, think and ponder, just read scripture and just pray, and, you know, even try testing God if you want to. He might not answer in the way that you expect, and then, like, talk to people around you, like, feel free to be open. And for like people who are Christians who are trying to, like, point other people to God, I think I've really learned to just, like, trust in God's timeline, and not necessarily try to use any of, like, my own, what I think of as skills or knowledge or whatever to encourage other people, but just, like, being more open-minded and giving God, like, my time, really. So yeah. Oh, and the last thing I wanted to mention is, like, so I, this past year has been really tricky because, like, I have to decide, like, what I want to do next. I actually got an offer to be a professor at Wheaton College, which is, like, a Christian liberal arts college. And I was like, oh, this feels very, like, clearly a way to serve God. Like, it's Christian college. It was a really good community. It's a great place to be in. And so I was, like, struggling with if I should take that job or not. I eventually got, like, some other postdoc offers. Like, I got a postdoc offer in the Northeast, which is, like, closer to my family, that I was, like, kind of excited about too. And I don't know. I feel like for this case, this wasn't a case where I felt like I knew exactly where God was calling me. and had like a very clear idea that like God was calling me to this place. And even now I feel like I'm not entirely sure, like what people say, like have peace with this. Like I'm not entirely sure. So eventually I took a postdoc position at UCLA. So we're going to be at UCLA for 3 years. I'm honestly not entirely sure if that's exactly where I felt God was calling me. But I think that like my view right now is that like, I don't think God's will is just like one straight, narrow, tiny like path. I think God's will is for certain things to happen in my life. And then maybe that's not exactly like geographically dependent or like job dependent. Like his will is for certain things to happen at certain times. And then like maybe those can happen anywhere. And so what I've been learning is like, you know, like, I think I just try to like serve the Lord or pursue him as best as I can, wherever I am. I actually like before coming, so I had the choice between UVA and Michigan for grad school. And so sometimes I'm thinking like, oh, what would it be like if I went to Michigan instead? And then I was like, I don't think it would be that different. I feel like, well, like in certain ways, like I feel like I'd still be at a church, like maybe a Chinese church, maybe not a Chinese church. I think I would still be like trying to, you know, like grow in my faith. Hopefully still be married to Tim, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. I think that like in this case, at least, I'm not sure if I feel like God was really calling me to this place. But I think a lot of these things happen in retrospect, and we can see God's goodness in retrospect. I'll end with this one thing is that the verse I want to encourage everyone with and that like is really prevalent in my life is 1 Thessalonians 5:6-8. That's actually kind of one of the verse that like our baby was named after, Thessalonians, Tessa. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Mm-hmm. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And like, yeah, it's really hard to give thanks in all circumstances. It's really hard to pray, you know, to rejoice always, especially those like early days when she was newborn and like everything's terrible. And I was like, how am I supposed to like give thanks, like the socks, you know, or like, how am I supposed to rejoice? Like, this is awful, you know? But I think that like, there's always like things to rejoice. And I think that sometimes in the good times, you just like reflect on when things were difficult. And then you rejoice that like God brought you through those circumstances. Like even this past week when Tim had health issues, I was like, oh, I never like feel like I'm thankful for good health until like something really bad happens. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, like, thanks that like my nose isn't clogged or something. You know, like you just, I feel like it's hard to like remember the blessings when everything is going well. This is actually something that's been done in research. Like my undergraduate advisor has this paper that's like, it's really easy to know what is like hindering you. Like it's really, really easy to come up with all the things that like are against you, but it's really hard to come up with all the things that like, all the ways that you've been supported and that you've been and that you've benefited. It's a paper, I can point you to it if you want. but it basically just shows that like, I think it's a, God commands us to rejoice always and to give thanks in every circumstance because it's not necessarily easy for us to do all the time. It's really easy to focus on what is hard and what is bothering us. But it's, we don't always like naturally think about, you know, what we have to give thanks for until maybe we see other people in that situation or until like we experience it for ourselves. So that's kind of what I'll leave with. So yeah.
Thank you. It's amazing to hear what God is doing in your life. I'm sure everybody has a testimony, something, you know? And for us, as a preacher, we just preach. We just send the words out. We never really know how these are returning to God, you know? But I'm so thankful for you guys to share what God is doing in your life. You know, and our God is amazing. He works all the time. You know, he's always active. So thank you for being a blessing to us, being a blessing to me and my wife, you know, and just to see how God works in your life.